Well, you can probably tell already that I'm sick. Again. Still sick. You know, you go to the fucking doctor, what do they do for you? Nothing. Everyone tells me, they're like, you should go back to the doctor. And I'm like, why? If you went to get your car fixed and they did something to it and it, you know, fixed the problem for 3 days, they wouldn't say, you should go back to that person. Give him another shot. Fuck the doctor. She didn't do shit for me. I mean, I guess I got like 2 days of relief, you know, overall. So that was something. But I wouldn't say I feel better. I sound like shit. You know, I did the double dose of NyQuil last night so I could fucking fall asleep. I just went to Walgreens, you know, to get some cold medicine. So I'm fucking standing there with water and a cold medicine thing, you know, like, miserable. Standing behind this lady. She's got two little kids who are, you know, running around and shit. And the checker is like, oh, do you have your Walgreens club card or whatever they call it, you know? Your wall card, your card wall. And the lady's like, oh, no. And the lady's like, do you want one? And, you know, the purchaser is like, oh, what is it? You know, and I'm standing behind her going, what the fuck do you think it is? It's a fucking card you get at Walgreens, and then you scan it at Walgreens, and it's like, you save 1 cent or something like that. Fucking idiot. What is it? Oh, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? When you're at Target, when you're at Walmart, all these places, and they say, do you want a card? Do you know what your answer is? No. And if you want a card, I mean, get a card later. Do it later. You don't have to do it in the middle of fucking day while there's like five people standing behind you, and then she's like, punch in your zip code. I'm like, fuck you with your zip code. By the way, everyone's like, oh, you need your King Supers card so you can save like 3 cents a gallon on gas, which, you know, when you fill up, you're like, oh my god, that's almost 50 cents. That's almost 50 cents. Oh my god. I would burn a dollar in front of a homeless person before I would be worried about saving 50 cents on fucking gasoline. Are you kidding me? And by the way, you know the point of that whole thing is like, this is gonna sound like Paranoid Pete or something, but it's because they're gonna use the information about what you buy and your gas buying habits and shit to try and sell you shit. I mean, it's not like they're like, we're gonna do you a huge favor and give you a discount, but we just want you to have this card. You know what I mean? That costs them money, so they're getting more out of it than they're putting in, I promise you that. So whatever it is that they're selling to whoever, count on it. Count on that being a real thing. I gotta say, when I'm sick, you know, stuffed up like this, like, there are a couple things that are hard to do. Eating, that's a disaster for whoever else is around. I mean, for me, it's fine. But for them, it must be a really, becomes pretty biological all of a sudden, where they're like, oh, I can see everything that's happening in your mouth. This is going great for me. But also, I prefer texting when I'm sick, just because the talking is difficult here. So I was looking up the other day, because I was thinking about, I threatened that I was going to sext somebody. You know, because I was like, well, maybe I'll just start sexting. Maybe I won't say anything anymore and just communicate via sext. But quickly, I was like, I wouldn't even know. If someone said, you know, sext me, send me something sexy, I'd be like, oh, fucking no, what do you even say? What's sexy that you could sext somebody? I hate saying that word. It's a very difficult word to say, you know. But if I had to sext somebody, I don't know what I would say. So I looked up, you know, old Google. I was like, let's look at some examples of sexting, you know. And I mean, the examples were hilariously bad. Because even being someone who doesn't, you know anything about sexting or have very strong opinions on it, even I was like, these are fucking stupid. You know what I mean? There was there was one, and it said, it was from a guy, and it said, hey, baby, come over. I'm naked, except I'm wearing a condom. That's like a horrible image, I think. Just a guy with a... I mean, is he hard and he's wearing a condom? I guess that's a way of saying I'm ready to fuck, but it's not a very romantic It's like, hey, I'm ready to fuck, but also I'm remembering safety and not having babies kind of thing. And I mean, a condom is a very... I mean, condoms are real unsexy, if you ask me. They're, like, slimy. They have a smell. You know, they're full of semen, which for me doesn't do a lot. I mean, half the time they're full of semen. I don't know. And, like, when you're taking the condom off, too, I think it's important to take the condom off when you're still partially hard. Because if you're flaccid and... Oh, God, it's gross. It's like a snake shedding its oily skin. You know, but you have to shuck the skin off yourself for some reason. The snake is like a hurt baby snake and you have to do it yourself. I was thinking, too, like, you know, there are a lot of things... People talk a lot about, you know, wearing socks when you're naked, right? Like, oh, it was winter and we were going to have sex, but he or she was still wearing socks. Which, my feeling is, I want to put a thermometer up in my apartment that's got, like, a red line across the middle. You know, and be like, alright, if the temperature is below this temperature, then, you know, nudity, except for socks, is totally acceptable. But if it's above this temperature, nudity except for socks is not acceptable. You know what I mean? There should be limits. Because I do think... I mean, it's less sexy in a way, but I don't know. I can get over it. It doesn't really... doesn't kill it for me. God knows I've cummed in enough socks that the sight of a sock is obviously not going to be an anti-aphrodisiac for me. For God's sake. That was pretty much my sex life for about 15 years. Was related to only that. So, you know, what are you gonna do? There was another great example of sexting. This one was from a girl to a guy. And it was, guess what size my boobs are? A is the smallest and D is the biggest. I mean, I don't understand how that is a sext. That's like more of a, oh god, I have to buy someone a bra for some reason, an emergency bra purchase, because she lost her bra in the river or something while we were camping. I mean, and then it's like, ah, oh, fuck, you know. It's like anytime you buy clothes, I mean, you can't buy a lady pants because, you know, if you buy pants that are way too big, it's like, oh, you think I'm fat. Or if you buy pants that are too small, it's like, oh, I think I'm fat now. You know? You can't win on that. Bra is like the same deal. And also, I don't know, like with a shirt, I figure, alright, I'm gonna err on the side of either being just right or a little small. Cause then I'll be like, well, it's, you know, cause you're not fat, what can I do? But with a bra, I'm not really sure what the safe error is. Cause I'm not sure whether ladies would prefer to have a certain size breast. This is, and I'm sure, it must vary from person to person, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a person out there who's like, I would like to have this size. I mean, obviously it must, because there's somebody out there who has, like, triple F, I can only order my bras on the internet breasts, right? And then there's somebody out there who's like, I don't even actually need a bra, per se. You know, nature just kind of takes its course and I'm fine. But I wonder, you know, that's what people have. And I guess if you get the triple F on purpose, that's where you're at. And if you've got the nothing, you could get something put in and that would be where you're at. So you can kind of adjust. But I would wonder, like, if, you know, if I was a breast genie and all I did was go around to ladies and say, you could have whatever size of breasts you want. What size would you like? You know, assuming they're equally nice to what you have now as far as, you know, if they're sagsters or if they have, you know, weird moles all over them or something. I don't know, hairs. I mean, they'd be the same, just the size would be different. What would you like? What would be your ideal? I feel like maybe it'd be all over the map. I don't know. So the point is, if someone was like, guess my bra size, I think I'd be like, why? This feels like a trap, a trick. I don't know how to guess this without being in trouble in some way, you know? I don't think I could do it. I don't think I've got the, the ability to do it right, and I don't think I have, you know, a good outcome if I do it wrong. I mean, it's going to be a bad situation to be in. What would you do? I mean, you'd have... I think I would just guess B, probably. Unless it was obviously not a B. It was obviously much larger than a B, then I'd guess C. I'd guess B or C, though, I think. You know, I don't think I would guess D, even if I was like, well, your breasts seem to be about, like, 85% of your body. So, probably a C? I don't know, it's gotta be different, too, because, like, you know, a long time ago I dated this girl who was, like, 5 feet tall. So, I mean, she could probably, if she had proportional C, she might still actually be in an A-size bra, right? Because if there's only 5 feet of you in length, I mean, if you had, like, a C-size breast, an actual C, Jesus Christ, that would look insane, right? I mean, but if you had a B, it would probably be proportionally, like, a average woman's C. Is that, I don't know if this is a thing or not. I don't really understand. It's kind of like a guy. The guy equivalent is, like, if you're, you're a muscular guy, but you're a super tall, lanky guy, you could actually be pretty muscular, but you don't look quite as muscular because you've got, you know, that same strength of bicep, but it's, you know, expanded. It's twice as long. Whereas a more compact guy, I think, can be that ripped and look real ripped. You know? There's a happy medium there somewhere. Somewhere there's a happy medium. That's going to be the name of my son. This is my son, Happy Medium. I had coffee with my old roommate, Travis. He was telling me about this dating website that a friend of his was telling him about, where you date, you get put into a category based on which sexually transmitted disease you have. So let's say I've got, herpes. Then I get in, like, the herpes category. And then I can find other people with herpes to go on dates with and potentially have sex with. I mean, that seems like a pretty good idea to me, personally. I mean, I always thought that with, like, AIDS, let's say. I mean, it would fucking suck to have AIDS. That's the one everybody's afraid of, you know what I mean? That everyone's like, oh my god. And, you know, I'm sure that if you have AIDS and you're trying to date people, it could be kind of a relationship killer. Right? Because, you know, you're like, it's bad no matter what. Because if you're going out with someone and you don't like them, then you're like, oh, fuck it, I don't even like them, so what's the point? And if you do like them, it's terrible because you're like, at some point I'm going to have to tell them I have AIDS. And then they, as a human, are going to be allowed to react to that however they choose, which, you know, could be real negative. I mean, you can't really, if you have AIDS, you can't really be like, I can't believe this woman wouldn't have sex with me for the first time. And it's complicated too, because if you have, like, AIDS, let's say, I mean, that's gotta push back the sex act, like, a couple months, right? I mean, if I was seeing a girl and she's like, I have AIDS, I don't know if I'd be able to say, like, hey man, I was ready today. I'm still ready to have sex with you. I think I'd be like, yeah, you're gonna have to think about it. Even if I really like you, right? But if you meet someone on, you know, AIDSmatch.com or whatever it's called, yeah. You know, DiseaseSnatch.com, it's like, that way, you don't even have to discuss it. I mean, that must be like the weight of the world off your shoulders on that first date. Right? When you go in and you're like, you don't even have to tell them you have AIDS. They don't have to tell you that, you know, you could just kind of be like, how long have you had AIDS? Oh, a couple years. How long have you had AIDS? Oh, yeah, about since 1998. And you're like, right on, bro. So you don't even have to worry. Plus, you know, if you meet someone on the AIDS one, it's probably like, oh, okay. I wonder if there are pariahs on the AIDS, you know, if you have AIDS and herpes, let's say. I wonder if it's like, listen, man, I know I got AIDS, but herpes, fuck you, you know? This is bad enough as it is. I mean, maybe once you have the one, you're like, that doesn't really predispose me to wanting another. I mean, I guess the problem with the website is it kind of assumes that, like, I mean, you have that thing in common, so maybe you'd get along, but fuck that. I mean, I don't know. It would be very freeing, I would think, in a way, to just be able to say, like, well, I've got AIDS, so, you know, going on the date, you would know I have AIDS, and I would know you have AIDS, and really, it wouldn't matter. You know, so I guess you could talk about it or not, but you could go to a movie, and you wouldn't have to worry, too. Like, it would be a horrible worry to be like, I'm kind of worried because I want to have sex with this person, but also, it's not like you could just have sex. You'd have to be like, we're going to have kind of a discussion first here. You know what I mean? It's got to kill a lot of relationships. Then I was thinking, like, I wonder if anyone gets on there, you know. Let's say I'm just lonely. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just say I have herpes or something. You know what I mean? Because then maybe I could get on there and find somebody. I'm sure there are a lot of nice people with herpes. Doesn't seem that bad to me. An outbreak every so often. It's pretty manageable with the drugs. See which drugs are covered by my health insurance and base the STD that I claim to have on that, you know. I don't know. That doesn't seem so bad. I also thought it'd be really funny to get on there with a disease that's 100% curable. I get on there and I'm like, oh yeah, unfortunately I do have crabs. So just, you know, I thought this was the right place. But, you know, probably everyone would be like, why don't you just get rid of the crabs? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I just wanted to, you know, I have the crabs today. Maybe I won't tomorrow. Wanted to get while the getting's good, you know, I don't know. Just looking for something today. So I just figured I'd be honest with everybody. I'd like to see, I wonder how the website works, if you have to date within your own category, or if it's just like, that's a thing. I mean, if Match.com was smart, they would probably allow that. They would put it as a thing, you know? Although I guess you'd have to be honest. Like, the thing is, if you're on one where everybody has a disease, it's a lot easier to be honest about it. Because you're like, well, we all know what we're doing here, right? None of us are here because, you know, none of us besides Pete is just trolling, seeing what's out there, maybe thinking, well, clearly this person's sexually active, so that's good news for me. I mean, that's it kind of answers two questions, really. Unless they recently found Jesus Christ, in which case they probably aren't looking to date someone who's on there, right? I don't know. If you're not planning on having sex again, it doesn't really matter if you have an STD, I suppose. I know it's a weird time to do it, but I wanted to mention Facebook. Because I think I'm pretty much done communicating via Facebook. You know, if you send me a message or write something, I mean, I'll probably get it eventually. I'm not saying I don't ever check it anymore, but I'm trying to almost never check it and spend very little time on it. So, I mean, I'll still be putting stuff out to Facebook, but I don't think, if you want to communicate with me, email me, helpfulsnowman@gmail.com, you know, and we can talk that way, because I'll check that. But I'm not doing a great job on the Facebook. It's too confusing. You know, part of it is that I just don't, you know, whenever someone comments, I feel like a response is warranted, but I don't always know what to say. And then also, you know, the stupid thing does shit like, it'll say, oh, these three people posted on your timeline, and then when you click on the thing, it only shows you one of the posts, you know, and then I can't fucking find the other one. And I just immediately give up, because I'm like, oh, fuck it. Like, I don't have to fight this stupid machine. Thanks for combining those alerts in such a way that I can't really use them, you know? You managed to reduce my alerts and also my usability at the same time, so I appreciate that. That was a pretty nice thing of you to do, you know? So anyway, that was just a quick thing. If you've sent me something on Facebook or whatever and I haven't got back to you, I mean, I'm going to be, I don't know, not on there. I just hate it. You know, I just hate the things that everyone, all of you put up there. Drive me crazy. I can't handle it anymore. I complained about it forever the other night. You know? Was gonna do a little thing too. So, my grandma passed away on New Year's Eve, actually, like at about noon. Yeah, I got a message the day before from my brother that said, you know, the doctor said she's got about 24 hours to live or something. You know, which is kind of like, all right, well, I mean, she was in a coma. She was passed out and basically just drifting to death or whatever. So none of us went out there because she wouldn't even know we were there. You know what I mean? So that happened. And then, you know, the next day at noon or so, my mom called me, let me know. You know, and so we're not going out. There's no funeral or anything. My grandma is the only person I know who did the thing that we all say we're going to do. You know, everyone's like, I don't want to have a funeral. If anything, let's just have a party. You know what I mean? Or I don't want a burial and all that shit. And everyone I know, you know, who's died or who their relatives died, they always have something, you know. But she really had nothing. I mean, she said she didn't want anything, and she filled out all these papers a few years ago to donate her body to science, and it was like, when she was dead, you know, that was that. I mean, she's gone. There's nothing of her to funeralize, and, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing, I think, to say, like, I don't want anyone to have a funeral, because, I mean, before, yeah, for me, I've said that, you know, and would still say that, but it's more, I guess, to me, it feels like, I don't know, you guys do whatever you want, because I'll be fucking dead, you know what I mean? I think that maybe people say that because they think it's a big hassle, you know what I mean? Because sometimes, I mean, let's be serious. Sometimes you go to a funeral or, like, weddings are like this, where you're going to a wedding, but you're like, I don't even really talk to this guy anymore. Or, like, you know, this is a, you know, I'm seeing a girl, and she is taking me to a wedding for people that I don't even really know. You know, I have no real reason to be here. That kind of shit. So, I mean, yeah, that's a big hassle. It's fucking annoying. And, you know, you gotta get dressed. It kills the whole day, and you get dressed up and all that bullshit. And, you know, I'm sure there are funerals like that. But, I mean, if you're at a funeral, and you're just thinking, like, well, this is a huge waste of time, I just kinda had to put in the FaceTime, then you probably just shouldn't go. I mean, you shouldn't go to the wedding either, honestly. But you have to. Because the thing about the wedding is, you know, 90% of weddings are just for the other people sitting there, right? I mean, that's what the point is all these people get together. Or, you know, the funeral is not really for the dead person, it's for everybody else. So, I mean, she's the only person who's done it, and I gotta say, it's weird. It's pretty weird, because, you know, I'm like, well, should I call some people? What would we say? Hey, man, it blows that she's dead. I mean, what else is there to say? You know, all that same shit. Ah, it sucks she's dead, but, you know, at least she's not in pain and died in her sleep or whatever. I don't know. That's another thing, too. Like, that's when all the grisly details come out. They're like, well, at least she went peacefully and quickly. And they're like, eh, actually, she was really unhappy and dying for, you know, most of the previous day and knew she was dying and was frightened, you know? You're like, I could have done without that. I probably could have figured out a way to not have to deal with that. That would have been acceptable for me. So I had, you know, my mom and my brother. My brother's in town for the holiday. And Allison came over, you know, my mom. We're having Christmas dinner. And Allison went home for the holiday, you know, and so she's like, well, because Allison's not here, you should have us over for dinner. Which I misinterpreted as, you should have us over for dinner while Allison's not here, you know? Like, sneaking around behind her back or something, which I was like, that's a really weird thing for my mom to say. You know, I didn't know if she was, like, totally enamored with Allison or not, but it seemed like they got along great. So it took some doing for me to figure out that what my mom actually meant was, because Allison is not here at Christmas dinner, we should have a separate dinner with her where she is there. You know, which is fine. I mean, I was kind of like, oh, okay, so you'll just invite yourself over for a dinner that I'll make. That's nice, but okay. So I did. You know, and then, it was good timing because my grandma died the day before. So then, you know, everything was pretty normal. And then my mom, before she was saying, you know, oh, we should have Manhattans, because that was my grandma's, her drink, you know, we would go out to eat, and she'd always get a Manhattan, which is, you know, there's a level of argument here, but it's basically two parts rye, one part sweet vermouth, and then a dash of bitters, which I don't, you know, I can't even taste that shit, and, then a maraschino cherry, and you pour some of that maraschino cherry juice in there. Makes it a nice reddish color. Whatever that juice is, that liquid that they're suspended in, God only knows. The devil's fingernail polish is basically what's in there. So, you know, she was like, let's have Manhattans, because that was her drink, and I said, alright, so I got the vermouth and stuff, and I made one the night before, just as kind of a tester for New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, Allison came over and my brother came. My brother played Gears of War with me for like 3 hours, which was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. It was a good New Year's Eve in a way, because that's what I like to do anyway, so I got to do something I'd like to do. I like my brother, and he's fun to hang out with. He's fun to play video games with, too, because I think he enjoys video games more than anyone I know. And I mean that in a way of, like, he actually has a lot of fun playing them, I think. In almost any game that I've played with him, he's found a way to enjoy, you know, and he's good at them. But, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's, like, Rock Band or Gears of War 2, he's having a good time, you know, and I think, I don't know, that's great. I'm envious of that quality. So anyway, I made one on New Year's Eve just to sort of see what it was, because I didn't remember. I remembered we'd go out, you know, I mean, the times my grandma was going to restaurants and getting a Manhattan, it was like I was 10, you know, and I would ask, I'd be like, can I eat that cherry? And she'd be like, sure, and I'd taste it, and I was like, holy Jesus Christ, this tastes like shit, you know, because I've been soaking in this booze. So I made it, you know, and I mean, that's a stiff cocktail, my friends. That is not a, watermelon margarita or something. That's a fucking serious drink. My brother drank some, and he's like, wow, she was a hard lady, you know what I mean? Drinking that shit as an old woman. I wonder when you're old, you know, I know some people who, as they've aged, don't do the hard liquor anymore. I wonder if some people, though, just do more of the hard liquor, you know, if that becomes their thing, because it's like, well, can't even really taste anymore, so this is mellowed, and maybe if you can't really taste, you know, your flavors become intense. It's like my friend's mom fell off the roof of their house and lost her sense of taste, and she really liked eating burnt popcorn, you know, which is vile tasting. But maybe it's, like, such an intense flavor she can taste something. I don't know. So, you know, I made the night everyone came over for dinner, you know, I made one large Manhattan and split it into 4 shot glasses, you know. Not that we had to do shots, but I figured, I mean, I know my mom and I know everybody else, and I was like, this is plenty Manhattan for everybody, you know what I mean? We don't need to have a whole one. You know, so we all, you know, I put them out and all the mismatched shot glassware and all that. And my mom said, you know, to grandma, and we cheers. And then, you know, I mean, we drank a little bit and then she just started crying, you know. I mean, it was sad. It's weird to see your mom just start crying. I mean, for me, I guess she was not a big you know, just like burst into tears kind of person, and that's kind of what happened. I mean, it's pretty weird because, you know, being like the grandkid, I mean, yeah, my grandma like took care of us a lot, you know, and we were close and all that stuff, and she was a good grandma, and she moved all the way here from Chicago for, you know, like 5 years to basically take care of us after school and stuff, which is, I don't know, I mean, that was a big deal to me now looking back, because it's like, she basically was like, well, I'll just give up my life to take care of somebody else, you know, which is, I think, huge. And, but, you know, it's, I was just thinking about, you know, I was like, man, this is sad, this sucks, whatever. But then I was thinking about my mom, and I was like, that's her fucking mom, you know? It's way worse when it's your mom, I'm sure. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, she seems to be all right, but it's been quite a week, I gotta say. Between, like, the sickness reviving itself, making an all-time greatest hits comeback in my body. And then, like, you know, having the grandma death, and, I mean, New Year's is always kind of bullshit, I gotta say. It's not my favorite holiday. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, everyone does this thing where they're like, it's a new year, this year I'm gonna do X, Y, Z, and I hate that shit. I mean, I kind of do like the idea where it's like, yeah, I think sometimes we need reminders of how to make ourselves better. Or worse. You know, my resolution this year was to become a tax burden instead of continuing to be a taxpayer. So I think it's, I mean, you need a little reminder. It's kind of like how I've, you know, go flip-flop on Valentine's Day. I think Valentine's Day is fucking dumb. And I hate going out on Valentine's Day because every place is full. And you know what else I hate about Valentine's Day that I don't think I've really talked about before? It's like, you can be the shittiest boyfriend ever. Or you can be the best boyfriend ever, right? You can be very attentive, you take care of all of her needs, you're very emotionally available. But then you don't do anything on Valentine's Day. And then your girlfriend's at work, and Connie, who sits at the desk next to her, who has, like, the worst husband ever, who's just a lazy piece of shit, doesn't care about her, you know what I mean, doesn't help out with the kids and all that stuff, but he sends her flowers on Valentine's Day, and all of a sudden it's like, well, Connie got flowers, and it's like, yeah, Connie's husband has to give her flowers because he has nothing. I mean, he's not doing the minimum. You know what I mean? He's, like, the relationship is limping along, you know? I'm sure he was banging some secretary when he went on a business trip a week ago. But as long as he brings her flowers, it's like, okay, well, you didn't do as good as Connie's husband. But it's kind of like, fuck that. Like, that one day, maybe. I mean, I guess so. And if that's a big deal, whatever. But let's compare, you know, instead of saying Connie's husband kicks ass on her birthday, Christmas, and Valentine's Day, I mean, you should look over the whole year. What about the rest of the year where he's, like, emotionally vacant? You know? And maybe it's a flaw on my part, but I'm very suspicious of guys who are, like, real good about, you know, going all out on the holiday. It's kind of like, I get suspicious of a guy who proposes to his girlfriend on Christmas. You know? I'm always a little bit like, did you just not know what to get? Are you just not sure how to, you know, how to cap this all off, or New Year's or something? So anyway, I don't know, fuck Valentine's Day. I gotta say, fuck that shit. I can't even remember why I was talking about this. Something to do with my grandma. Anyway, we were talking about her too, you know, and saying she used to take me and my brother to the movies all the time, you know. I mean, I loved movies then, and we went to see anything we could, really, and she really was into, I don't know how or why, but she was really into the movie Hot Shots, you know, which was like, they don't really, I guess they do make, you know, those weigh-ins movies, you know, where it's like scary movie and shit like that, but I don't know, I remember these as being better, maybe they were as dumb, but it was like a Top Gun send up, you know, and it was ridiculous. And she thought that was the most hilarious. I remember laughing in the theater because at the beginning of Top Gun, it's like an aircraft carrier and it shows all the guys doing their little jobs they have there. And then, so in Hot Shots, they start with similar, it's like silhouettes of guys just doing shit. And one of them is, you know, a jet engine fires up and then a guy's cooking hot dogs and the flame that comes out. And my grandma just started laughing her ass off. And she liked, I mean, she took us to everything. And the only one I remember she really didn't like was Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. She fucking hated that movie. I don't know why that one really just struck her as being awful. I mean, maybe she wasn't into time travel narratives. Maybe she's, you know, identified a young Keanu as being something that was going to be bad for the world. But we saw that, and after that, every time we'd say, will you take us to the movies, she was like, as long as it's not like that Bill and Ted's Bogus whatever. I mean, that was her line for 10 years. Bill and Ted's Bogus whatever. Which kind of blew my mind, because the word that she didn't, you know, that she took out was journey. I mean, so she got Bogus in there. Bogus was one that, you know, as a 70-year-old woman, she's like, I got Bogus. I'm down with Bogus, you know. But Journey was the... And Bill and Ted, she got the names right, and in the right order. The only singular part that she missed out on was Journey. So it was Bill and Ted's Bogus whatever, which, by the way, I think they could pitch as an alternate title. I mean, if they called that Bill and Ted's Bogus whatever, it does kind of sound like they gave up on it before it started. But, I mean, they, you know, they were cultivating that whole slacker vibe, right? I don't think that's such a crime to have put something like that in there. But, yeah, that was the one, years later. We also got, you know, a thing for Christmas from my uncle. He sent us these ponchos. So he worked for this double-decker tour bus company in Chicago, you know, which sounded pretty interesting. I mean, you know, he's like, people always ask me, what's good to eat, you know? And I'm like, well, what do you like? Because we have everything, you know? And he told this one great story. It was about this lady who got on his tour bus, and they're driving around, and she was sitting down below. Everyone else was up top, you know, and she was, like, the only one. And she was just crying the whole time, you know, and he went up to her and was like, are you all right, you know, or do you need, and she's like, oh, no, it's fine, it's just the city is so beautiful, you know, and he said, you know, where are you from, and she said, oh, I'm from Detroit, you know, it's all fucked up. So, you know, he worked for this company last summer, and they have these ponchos. And they come in, like, a little plastic bag. I mean, they're garbage bag ponchos. But, you know, they have the name of the company all printed on them. And they have little pictures of, like, a double-decker bus or a trolley or something. And so, you know, they come in this, like, basically a disposable plastic bag that you rip open. And the poncho is inside and you put it on. So, for whatever reason, you know, the owners of the company or the manager or whatever made it very clear that they were not to take these ponchos, the people who worked there. You know, they were only to give these ponchos out to people on the bus outside when it was raining. You know, I don't know why, because they must cost almost nothing, but they were very stern and strict about this rule. So, of course, you know, my uncle has like a whole box of them at home. You know what I mean? And it was so funny because Allison, you know, we were kind of talking about this. My mom was explaining this scheme, you know, and she's like, so he just took them anyway, you know? And we had to sort of explain, it's like, well, I think that it's sort of like, he has no use. I mean, he's trying to unload these ponchos now because what the fuck are you going to do with 100 ponchos? You know what I mean? Nobody needs that. And he can't use them when he goes there. So, you know, he's just got to get rid of all of them. He's got just a whole crate of ponchos that he has no real use for, you know. So he makes my mom take home. He's, like, trying to get her to take home, like, a dozen. And she's like, I'll take 3, you know. And we were trying to basically explain to to Allison, you know, like, oh, he took them because he wasn't supposed to. Like, he's such a funny guy. I think that he's like a guy who gets bored real easily. Like, you know, he easily could sort of stick around and play by the rules and do whatever, but I think that makes him really bored. And I think that, I think that's what I like about him, is that he's sort of taken, in a way, he's taken the reins of life, his own life, by saying, well, I'm bored a lot, so what I'm going to do to not be bored is, you know, break the rules when I feel like it. Or, you know, almost, it's almost a game of, like, the more you tell him there's a rule, that's the more rule he has to break. You know, the stronger you say, he's like a, you know, every fucking fairy tale, they'll put, like, a guy in a room full of treasure, and they'll be like, look at all this amazing treasure, you can have all the treasure you want from this room. You know, and it's a secret room, no one else can get in here. The one rule is, do not touch that golden chalice over there. And I think 90% of the world, and myself included, would hear that, and they said that, and we'd all be like, yeah, that's fucking fine. What do I need that chalice for? I'm good, you know? We'd all be curious. But then we'd think about it and be like, nah, man, the lifetime of free treasure is way better than knowing the mystery of the golden chalice, you know? But in the stories, they always go for the chalice, and it drives me fucking insane. Because then something bad happens, and you're like, man, you ruined your life. Your big shot. But I think he's kind of that guy. I think that for him, the big shot is the chance to do something different, to go outside the boundaries or something. Which, I don't know, I mean, I think there's something to that. We're very boundary-oriented, I think, most of the people I know. I don't know, the way we do things and the safety of jobs and whatnot, I think we kind of stick to the safe side. But it's, you know, it's, and it's safer, and it's good. I think it's probably a good thing, but I don't know. I mean, he might be happier. It's hard to say. I can't speak for him, but if he's happier, then we're all fucking up, huh? By not stealing a box of ponchos. Well, that's it for me today, you guys. My voice is cashed. Thanks for listening. Keep listening, helpfulsnowman.com. You know, there's all kinds of shit on there. share it on Facebook and Twitter. That's all I ask. If you enjoy it on any level, just do that. And the rest is, you know, whatever. Fucking gravy, like they say. The rest is gravy. Which is, you know, delicious on biscuits, I guess. What they mean. Alright. Have a good night. It's not true. Darling, say it's not you. Darling, say it's not you.